What is up, everybody? Welcome to episode 8 of Late Night Gamers Podcast.
Padcast.
Padcast. we're coming to you and we're making all your gaming habits seem acceptable. I'm Nick Persnowski. With me, as always, is Tim Madden. Steve Morgan.
Don't call me Dota.
And Charles Caldwell.
What the hell did you just say?
What did you just say to me, boy?
Like last week, I think we're going to jump right into some topics. We have some fairly breaking news, which won't be breaking once you listen to this, but the biggest news out of today is that Watch Dogs and The Crew, two extremely huge launch games for both the Xbox One and PlayStation 4, are being delayed until 2014.
Curse you, Ubisoft! Or Ubisoft, or whatever the hell you like to call yourself.
Hoobie Boobisoft. I think that's not good. I don't think that's good at all. Especially for the consoles. Because I know a lot of people, I mean, every person that I've talked to that has a console pre-ordered also has Watch Dogs as one of their pre-ordered games, too.
Yeah, I saw a lot of people, they had I think Amazon was selling a bundle with Watch Dogs and PS4.
Yeah, so it's they
like
did.
If you bought that bundle, then you kind of shit out of luck.
You screwed.
You get the game at some point, but I don't know. It looked like one of the better, you know, new IP games that
maybe
was
they just
out.
Didn't want it to be part of that like error ridden first games threshold.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, I don't. I have a feeling that it's more financially based because the fact that they, like, why did they push The Crew out to Q2 instead of Q1? Like, that to me is just a little weird.
Right.
You'd think they'd maybe push them all back by the same amount instead of pushing them one back a lot further.
Well, I think The Crew was actually it didn't actually have a specific launch date. It said like early 2014 or Q1 2014, and I think they basically pushed out both games a full fiscal quarter. But
just lame.
Yeah, it kind of sucks. I'm a little disappointed. Not that I pre-ordered it, but I don't know. Hopefully, they actually are spending some time on polishing it up and making
it. That's
what
they said.
A good final product.
They said that they were going to make it. They wanted it to be as professional as possible because they wanted to make sure that it was a blockbuster. But to me, if they really want to make sure it's a blockbuster, release it during the holiday season when everyone's going to buy it.
Right.
Yeah, but are they like the kind of company that do that? Because that's like a MO of Blizzard. Right? Like, and it matters. And it makes a big difference. I mean, at least the product's always good from them. And
well, obviously not, considering Assassin's Creed 3.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe they're like getting sick of that kind of like mentality of just like pushing products out like immediately, and they want to actually make like quality games.
Yeah,
I hope so. Because I'm much more excited about Watch Dogs than I am about Assassin's Creed 4, which is coming out at the end of this month.
It's just unfortunate that they couldn't have realized that sooner and waited until October to say something, considering that they had been pitching it, and they pitched it at PAX, and we saw the preview for it. It's like, it's been almost a full year. You couldn't have said this in early, like, the beginning of the summer. Just kind of stupid.
Yeah, a bunch of stuff I was listening to, actually, like, from the other conventions, E3 included, and Tokyo Game Show, and Gamescom, and all those, I guess the trailer that they showed, and, like, gameplay footage that they showed was almost, I think it was almost the exact same thing from PAX earlier in the year. So they just showed the same thing over all those conventions, which isn't usually a good sign.
It wasn't like actual gameplay when we watched it either. It was like a video, right?
Yeah. I think they may have played for a short time, because remember there was that like woman in the alleyway and.
Yeah, well, it was like simulated. Well, I mean, it was.
Yeah, it was simulated gameplay,
It wasn't actually. No one was actually playing while we were there.
No.
So was it in-game graphics or is it cinematics or what?
It was in-game.
Okay.
But, I don't know. I mean, if that's the only thing you're showing, they probably just focused a whole bunch of time on making that look as good as possible, and then...
Yeah, it turns out making, like, in-game graphics look nice is a lot easier than actually having mechanics. So, yeah, that's usually not a good sign.
Yeah, and I think the other issue that pushing Watch Dogs back is going to have for Ubisoft is that GTA 5 is, I think, potentially launching in the same quarter or around the same time on next-gen consoles that Watch Dogs is going to be launching, which could be a problem.
I don't know. To me, I feel like Watch Dogs, it's like, from what we saw, it looked really interesting. You know, it looked, the interactability of stuff and the, you know, like the open world idea seemed really cool. But at the same time, I feel like, you know, it's in the end, the replay value, I don't know how great it's going to be. And I feel like it's going to end up being like a rental for me more than anything else.
Yeah.
It'll be cool, though, to be in Chicago, though. Except if you're jumping on top of the L like that, you'd be dead.
You'd be all fucked up.
Yeah.
Well, in other news, which is kind of ongoing news, but GTA Online has been having consistent issues since it launched. It was like a week after the actual GTA 5 launch. But apparently they've just been having connection issues, people losing progress in-game, like, while they're playing, and all these really terrible issues that have made it really difficult for people to continue. But it's Rockstar? Would it be Rockstar that's actually offering that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Offering $500,000 in in-game cash to everyone that's playing, or to everyone that's already purchased it.
Like, I mean, that's, you're saying like $500,000 in game cash to every single person?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You can, I'm pretty sure in GTA Online you can buy
cash.
Yeah.
It's like the gold market in Diablo 3, sort of, okay.
Right.
Yeah. Really? They added that component into GTA? That's just strange.
Yeah, you can actually play the stock market in GTA 5, which is crazy. And I don't know how the real stock market works, and I probably don't
like
have any
interest.
Like a
fictional stock market, or you can invest your GTA cash in real stocks? Like...
No, not real stocks. You don't have $500,000 in real cash.
Something tells me that, like, the delay in the game to, like, update real stocks would probably not work out, because people would just, like, be, like, investing in things that are, like, going
but
up.
But as far as the stock market in GTA... Is it with other players that impact the rates? Like, is GTA an MMO? Like,
online it is, sort of.
It just seems really strange. I thought it was just another game with three different main characters, and they're talking about, like, why would you give them $500,000 in game cash? It just doesn't make sense.
No, and honestly, I don't know that I would really care. I mean, obviously, I haven't played the game yet, but $500,000 in in-game cash? Like, alright, what am I going to do? Like, blow it on some ridiculous item that I normally wouldn't buy?
Yes, a helicopter.
A lot of people do, like, a lot of, like, companies do this. I mean, EA did this with SimCity. They just, like, basically gave everybody just an EA game, right? Like, that they wanted. because everyone was so pissed off, so...
Give them a game. Give them, like... Give them a game or give them some weird item that you've just made for it. But I don't know why you'd give somebody just $500,000 in in-game cash.
If from their perspective, it's like giving you your time back. You know, you would have had to spend that time to get that cash.
And like, what's the point of like giving everyone a Ferrari? Then everyone just has a Ferrari. Like, at least you're getting like something, like some type of like, whether it's experience or cash, like something in the game that's like some sort of currency that like.
Yeah, but I value the time that I would play in the game, and I feel for me, it's like. Oh, yeah, this is going to make up for the time I was playing the game. Well, no, it isn't, because I wasn't playing the game.
Well, yeah, I mean, nothing's going to make up.
$500,000 in in-game cash isn't going to do it, but I mean, at least if you give you something else that will enhance the gameplay that you will now have,
How pissed off would you be if you played for like 5 hours and then the servers crashed and you lost everything you did?
I'd be pissed. But I don't. $500,000 is gonna like.
But you're not gonna want like a studded belt for your guy or something. Like,
yeah, true.
It's not gonna make you feel good at all.
Give me a house. Not $500,000.
I guess.
You buy a house, man.
Exactly.
Just seems like a strange consolation.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, they kind of related to the the outage in GTA is the connection issues that people are having with SimCity. And once I heard about that, I didn't even buy it, so I haven't played it.
Yeah, that's a good point, and then I can also vouch because I was actually super excited for this game. I looked at it a lot. And I really wanted to get in. I had a friend who bought it, release date, and just said he could never get on. Said this, like I was saying, with GTA, you'd play for hours and then the servers would crash. It sucks. It's disappointing. I understand the concept of having a DRM and not wanting people to pirate it, but at the same time, I think you can achieve some of those things by having better, multiplayer components to them. Having something that makes them so that you have to go online to really get the full effect of it. Not just making it a single player game that is unable to play on a plane or somewhere where you can't get internet. I mean, it worked with Diablo 3, so maybe that's not to say it's impossible, but
there's, I don't know. Yeah. I wouldn't necessarily say it worked with Diablo 3 because the drop off for that was pretty steep.
What do you mean by that?
Well, for me, I played it once through and then I was like, What's the added value to this content?
But the thing is, there was a massive multiplayer component to it, getting items and being able to sell them on the auction hall, and being able to replay through the campaign, and being able to play with people, and being able to play with random people. Mm. So there was definitely a lot of multiplayer. I don't think I really played that game much by myself, so it was different. It was a different mentality. But there was a lot of people with that game that really bitched about the fact that you couldn't play it offline. That was one of the best things about Diablo 2, is that you could just go play it whenever you want. You could just be anywhere and just play it, and I don't know, it worked out. I mean, but they also had, the ability to really fix their server issues, because they had them when release came out, just like any Blizzard game that released. But they made it work. They didn't have the problems that EA had with SimCity, where people just couldn't play Diablo 3 for hours at a time and stuff.
Now, did SimCity have microtransactions?
I don't know.
Because I'm not sure what their, aside from DRM, I don't know what their motivation was to make it an always-on game. I can understand for Diablo, because if it's not always on, you can't really ensure the auction house and stuff like that.
I think EA's main motivation was just piracy, really. I'm almost 100% sure about that, because there's a large population of the pirated community that was just super against it, really pushing it and stuff. All the guys that crack games, they were really into. There's gonna be a lot of articles of people basically boycotting the game and stuff because of that. And I mean, obviously for them, but at the same time, it was mostly for pirating, and I mean, it's understandable. At the same time, this is one of the big gripes of PC gaming, is that it's hard to make money like you can on consoles, because you can't copy consoles. Well, you just, not that easy, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So it's kind of killing, in a way, pirating is kind of killing off the PC market, because it's just not as profitable to invest the kind of money in EA. I mean, EA can just make a new Madden and make, a bazillion times more money than they'll make making SimCity.
Right.
Those games are terrible.
They're the same since, 2006. That's probably being generous.
This actually brings us, segues directly into, probably a big topic, one of our big topics for this week is microtransactions and basically any type of money transactions, real money auction house, season pass kind of ideas in games, and I guess we'll just talk a little bit about what we think about it, whether we like it, if we think it's actually a good model or not. And I'm not a big fan of microtransactions. I don't know about you guys, but most of the stuff that microtransactions do in games is like I don't want to buy like some special weapon. I don't want to buy a costume. Like I don't want to, you know, I don't need any. I obviously don't play any MMOs, so I'm not real. I don't need like some special item that gives me some sort of cape or ridiculous item things. but I was thinking about it, and like microtransactions are, they can take advantage of kids like so bad, because especially if their parents' credit card is just linked to the console, then they can just be like, oh yeah, this looks awesome. I want this costume. So I just dropped $3, but I want 10 more costumes. So you just spent $30 on costumes.
Yep, exactly, and they don't even have to like take advantage too, in that like. Kid doesn't even have to say, I want a costume. They can just be like, oh, mom, I need like $10 to play this game or something. And right. It's like, boom. They just got like 10 costumes, and you're just like, what the hell?
And they play that game for another, like, you know, 2 days, and yep. Then that's it. And it's free money.
I know. At some point, there had been a couple lawsuits over that, primarily with Apple, because they had made it so easy on iOS to do, in-app transactions. A couple parents had sued, and I don't know whatever happened with it, but there's definitely backlash.
Like that Draw Something game where you could buy colors, and you just, with a flick of your wrist, you could just buy, like, 20 different color sets for $1.99 each. And then you're screwed because they're on your, your account. Just like, I don't need colors.
Yeah.
Yeah, we definitely have friends that, you know, their kid was just playing around on their iPad, and all of a sudden they're like, "How did you get into the iTunes store and purchase like $20 worth of music that the kid didn't even know what they were doing? They're just like pressing buttons and listening to music, and it was downloading like 30 songs,
and it was all awful."
I mean, they're pretty good about putting in like controls so that, you know, to force a password if you try to buy anything.
But. Right.
It is true. I think they definitely try to take advantage of that fact. The fact that kids are going to want to buy stuff.
And then there's the opposite end of the spectrum, which includes me, where any microtransaction I ever see, I'm immediately like, nope, I'll go straight to the free content, thanks.
Yeah, exactly.
But like, yeah, and I totally feel exactly the same way as Charles. I hate it when I see something, and almost to the point where it's probably like detrimental, in that like I could play WoW for $15 a month, take me 15 days to get something done that I could pay like $2 to do, you know, or like you know, grind for 5 hours to get something that's worth $10, and I'm like, well, I could just like make that money like at a job and then buy all that shit, and then it would be easier. So,
but then what's the point? Then it's like real life, and that's not the point of the video game.
Well, yeah, I think they're trying the mindset they're trying to make is that for every hour that you play the game, it should be worth, you know, some amount of money. But that translation between I can do it for free, or I can spend a little bit of money to do it immediately, I feel like, at least for me, it's really not that easily made. Like, it's very hard for me to justify spending $2 for something in-game that I could just do on my own without spending the money.
Agreed. And I, that's exactly how I feel. But like, the question is like, really, like how, like where, there's a limit, right? Because I'll easily pay $15 to play WoW for 1 month. It's like, it's exactly like what we said last week with like quarters. Like it's just a bigger number in a longer time period. I'm just like, I'll pay you $15 to play this game for 1 month. And I'm completely fine with that. But like, where's the medium? Like, you know, $5 for a week or something. Like, where does that go to like a certain point where you're just like, eh, I'm not like gonna do that. There's definitely a threshold, and I don't know like where it is, but
yeah, I mean, I agree with that. Like when I was playing Neverwinter, and Ryan was playing it too, and he kind of justified it by saying that since it's a free to play game, you know, he said, well, if I spend $15 a month on items, it's, you know, the equivalent of paying for WoW. But I think not to drive us off into like an MMO discussion, but I think the difference in WoW in its subscription is you're basically you're paying for a level playing field, whereas with other games, to you, like, you know, the ability to buy items to increase your power and stuff is kind of detrimental to the game, in my opinion. But I think the only microtransactions that I can really justify in my own mind are ones that are, like, purely aesthetic. Stuff like Dota, and I think League of Legends, too. Stuff like that.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on the idea of basically, you know, paying to buy progress in a game or whatever, you know, so people could sit down and drop $100 and you could be like, well, great, you know, I played 100 hours of that game and they just dropped $100 and have all the stuff and they just beat me because, you know, they already have it and I don't, and you have to work your way to get up there, and I don't know, I think that aspect is just kind of annoying.
Is the game designed for enjoyment, or is the game designed only to make you tons and tons of money?
Right, and I mean, it's like, I mean, playing like Battlefield 3, you can, like the multiplayer online, you can level up gradually and get all your weapons and all the upgrades for the weapons and all the attachments and whatnot, or you can spend like $9.99 or $14.99 or something, and that unlocks all of the weapons with all of the attachments. And so many people do that in the online, because they'll be like a level, you know, a level 2, and I'll be like a level 50, and I don't even have the thing unlocked that they have, and they're friggin' headshotting me and killing me, and I'm getting pissed off. And like episode before, just FPS multiplayer makes you very, very angry.
Especially like that. I mean, when there's a gun that's specifically designed so you have to work for it, and then somebody can just come in and buy it, and then they just like, oh, well, I'm going to play the game for like 2 days. It's like, no, I'm playing this game for the long haul. I'm going to play this game until I get all the stuff. You can't just come in here with like $9 and buy everything out. It's just retarded.
Well, that's where the debate comes in, is that like some people like want to play for the challenge, and they want to like, and they don't want to play a game where you can only get this gun if you pay for it. They want to be able to like unlock it. And then some people are just like, why would I spend, you know, 50 levels unlocking this gun just so that I can use it when I could just pay like, you know, $20 or whatever and just buy it and then have it, and then I could play the game for like however long I want, and then I have it. Like, it's enjoy like, it.
Yeah. So I think part of the reward with, like, the achievement of unlocking things is knowing that other people haven't done it, you know?
Great.
Or other people have to work to do it. So I think it kind of, by offering an out for people to pay for stuff, it kind of, you know, it's a major slight to everyone who works so hard to get it.
Yeah, and it's kind of like somebody paying to see the end cutscene for, or just all the cinematics for a game where if you're actually playing through the game, you have to work to get those. Instead of just like putting in, paying for the movie, you actually have to play the game. It just bothers me.
The thing is, too, I feel like that drives the audience. So, like, a person's less likely to stick around and play a game for the long haul if it's a game like that. Because you have no sense of entitlement to the game. Like, you're not like, oh, I worked so hard, I got all these achievements that no one has. You're just like, yeah, I bought this gun, and then, okay, well, whatever. You know, like, it's just, and the same goes for the person who, like, grinds it out. It's like, oh, yeah, I grinded forever, and then I got, like, this gun, and then everyone just bought it and sucks. You know what I mean? So, like, those kind of games, but, I mean, maybe that's not their motive. They're just trying to make, a quick buck, so it's different. I don't know.
Those companies will not be around for very long, and they will never develop a blockbuster game that does super well.
Never. But it's similar to like the SimCity thing. It's just hard to make money on PC, man. It's just hard.
Well, this isn't even for PC only.
I mean, sure, that's true.
What kind of games on have the console games? Have they added in the microtransaction component? I mean, they obviously have. I mean, Xbox with a point system, which is equivalent to cash. I don't know what the PlayStation has.
Wait, for like the achievement?
Well, just microtransactions on the consoles, because we've been talking a lot about PC.
Yeah. Well, recently got rid of Microsoft points.
Yeah, okay, sure.
Yeah, now it's like legit, now it's just in real dollars. Really? American US dollars.
But the question is, can you buy in-game items with that stuff, or is that only for buying like games and stuff?
I believe you can. I'm pretty sure you can buy like I know on the Xbox you have like an avatar and you can buy like random stuff for it.
Oh, well, that's kind of lame. I mean, that's entirely different than buying something for a specific game that gives you the competitive advantage. Is it really just on PC where they're trying to find any sort of profit material it's so prevalent that it makes you like makes us mad?
I think the issue with PC is that the traditional model of pay $60, get the game, and that's it. That model has kind of fallen down on PC because it's such a piracy prone platform. So they're trying to go to like microtransactions, free to play stuff like that, to try to see if there's another way that they can kind of frame it and still make money off of it.
Well, that'll just mean that the games that the developers that actually care and make the good games is going to narrow. There's only going to be a few of them, and then everyone else will be spiraling down.
I feel like next gen consoles, we're going to see a lot more of that, like microtransactions and stuff, since the whole free-to-play platform seems to be so much more prevalent coming up with, there's a bunch of launch games, Warframe,
yeah, that's right.
DCUO, there's another one, there's an FPS that I can't remember the name of, but I mean, I feel like it's free to play, so obviously there's going to be some microtransaction component to it. And I mean, if I will probably download those games and play them, but I probably will spend $0 on them, and I will work to get all those items. And then once it gets to a point where I'm fed up because everyone else is just buying stuff, then I'll quit and I'll play another game. So.
Yeah, but you help the popularity of the game. Somebody else will buy something, so it works for them.
It's true. It's true. So
season passes.
Yes, season passes.
In an earlier episode we talked about some of this stuff, but man, season passes. I'm pissed off. I'm like really excited about Call of Duty Ghost, and they're like already trying to bundle it with like a season pass, and I'm just like, why the hell would I ever pay for that? Why would I ever want to buy, like, why would I ever want to spend, like, an extra $20 right now for a map I'm not going to get for, like, a year and a half? Like,
it's not $20, it's $50 for the season pass.
Wow, really?
Damn it. So it's like $110? I will not be spending $110 on... Well, that's a lie. I was a premium member for Battlefield 3, like... in the first couple weeks. So
there's a few of the season's passes that include like DLC and stuff, so it's more than just maps and stuff like that. Right?
Yeah. Well, there's like it is $50. So the normal game is like $60, and then the season pass is $50, and then you can purchase like what's like called like a digital hardened pack, which I think comes with the season pass and then some other like DLC and like, you know, stupid things for your profile pick and shit.
What's the difference between the digital hardened pack and the digital hardened Ghost digital hardened edition? What the
heck? No.
One is $60, one is $120.
No, one
the
is
only
an
difference
upgrade.
Is your level of confusion.
No. One is like one is for the people who bought the game and then realized they could spend another $60 on shit, and so they can just add it on to their normal one. And then one comes with the game; it's like a full version with the.
Oh,
upgrade.
I see.
Yeah, the $120 version comes with a vial of testosterone,
and not just any testosterone—a bull shark's testosterone, which is the most powerful in the world.
I feel like you've looked this up.
Factual information by Charles Caldwell.
He's his Wikipedia open right now. So
I know sharks.
This is going to diverge a little bit, but can I just say, like, just looking at this digital hardened edition, can you remember back when you used to be able to buy, like, collector's editions of games and they actually had cool shit in them?
Yeah.
And they actually had, like, vinyl, like... I remember I got, like, the I think this was the original EverQuest. It wasn't even, like, a special edition. It had, like, literally, like, a cloth map in it, and it had all this shit.
I think it was, I forget what game it was, but I remember getting, like, a cloth map, and I was like, dude, what the, it wasn't even a collector's edition, it was, like, the regular game, like, that whole physical aspect is totally gone.
Yeah, it was...
Yeah. I mean, they don't even, a lot of games don't even come with, like, they don't come with manuals or anything. You open up the box, and all it is just the disc.
And, like, the thing that drives me nuts is you don't get a discount for buying it digital. Like,
yeah,
they're saving money on, like having to make the disc and ship the disc and all this stuff.
Like, yeah, and where's the Steam discount, considering it's all part of the Steam distribution? They should, like, have a discount, considering that when you go to a specific retailer, there's usually the discount attached.
Well, I think part of it, too, is that, you know, these big, you know, Sony, Microsoft, and whatnot, like, they could definitely offer games digitally for a lot cheaper, but if they did, then they'd be basically saying, you know, fuck you to Best Buy and GameStop and all these other retailers that, you know, have supported them for decades.
Yeah. Well, I think with the next gen of consoles, it's kind of, you know, those major developers or maybe major publishers are kind of trying to push like Sony and Microsoft to force you know, like, downloadable games and stuff like that, because it's such a huge, like, if you think of how much money they make off of a game, like a physical disc that they send to that they sell to Best Buy, they're selling it for less than MSRP to Best Buy, so they're only making, like, you know, $30 on the $60 that it costs to buy it. Whereas when they sell it on Origin or whatever, they're making all of that money. They're making the whole $60. You know, right. So they're doubling their profits. So for them, it's like, of course we're going to try to push that. But,
And now, like, you look at the numbers, and the top-selling games are each month are going from retail versions to digital versions. And the digital versions are pulling in a lot more sales, like, consistently.
Yeah.
We have a few listener questions this week, and one of them, the first one, comes to us from Martin Tribus from it was from Twitter. He's at Gamer Forever.
Two G's.
And his question,
2G Gamer.
Two G's.
And the number 4.
Or maybe it's GG Gamer Forever. Sorry, G Gamer.
Gamer.
So his question for us is, do you think that this will be the last generation of consoles?
No.
Flat out no. Why do you say that?
He's going off a hunch.
You got a gut feeling going over there?
I feel good. I think it'll be the last generation of traditional consoles.
I agree. Yeah,
I think we're going to... It'll be a shift to more, like... Especially with Steam boxes coming out, I think you're going to see a total paradigm shift. And like, it's going to be, like, a less of a console battle and more of a platform battle.
UI, user interface.
Yeah, well, I think you'll have kind of, like, Steam versus... I mean, or, like a Steam versus Microsoft, whatever their platform is. And then, you know, Sony might have something.
Do you think the publishers like Origin, do you think that will develop into something other than just like a random tool, like a piece of software? Do you think that would be another user interface? Or do you think they'll just get out of it entirely and partner up?
Well, I don't think that. As long as they can hold on to it, they will, because it's such a huge... for EA, Origin is like a huge money cow for them, you know, because they've... There's like zero. The only money they have to put into it is to run the server, and the rest is just revenue. Whereas I think, like, you know, I think that, like, Valve and stuff like, I guess Steam and stuff like that, it's more going to be a battle over where you get your content from, and less a battle over what device you buy. And I think that's really where it's going to end up going.
It's a battle for our souls.
Yeah, I mean. The direction I could see it going is, you know, with both next-gen consoles kind of having somewhat of a focus on streaming capabilities, I could see it being, you know, like PlayStation and Microsoft or Xbox being a streaming service, and the actual console, the traditional console that we think of, would just be like a third party box.
Yeah.
And PlayStation is just an app, and Xbox is just an app, and you'd have to subscribe to those apps to actually, to get, you know, to get the games that are first party to each of those, and then I think there'll still be third party games and whatnot, but, I could see it going in that direction more than anything.
What will become of Sony and Microsoft as far as, like, well, Microsoft isn't a good example because they've got obviously their computers, but as far as like Sony, do you think they'll just become another developer, or do they think that they'll stick with like a user and a provider?
No. Yeah, they're not really. They're more of like a, if anything, a publisher, or like a, they're kind of the people who make the nest for everyone else to come mess around in.
Yeah.
Right.
And Nintendo, we have already decided, is going to be dissolve and become a developer like Sega.
Yeah. I think Nintendo is just going to start making, like, paper cups.
They're going to start making crossover action anime rap dolls.
Not when they make Hello Kitty online and it blows up, so...
Hello Kitty MMO / Pokemon. Yeah. 2014.
Yeah. Nintendo is just going to be, like, a place you go... Well, a place where, like, furries go to hook up and... Do you guys... Have you heard of furries? They're awful.
They are terrible.
For a second, I thought you said furbies.
Well, those are
Furbies.
Yeah, equally bad.
And I'm sure there are furry Furbies.
What was the noise in there? They make some terrible noise.
It's like a new gen Furby. It's like even creepier than the original.
I remember the best thing I ever did with a Furby was I painted its eyelids red, and then I think you could teach those things some words, right?
Yeah, no, they repeated you.
Yeah, yeah. So I taught it how to say like, I will murder you. And then Jeff Watts' little sister was horrified because we put it in her room and we painted its eyes red.
Do you guys have anything else on future consoles? Future of consoles?
My last gut feeling is that there may be one more and then they'll switch over.
I think the biggest mistake people can do or can make would be to like hold on to things just out of what they've done in the past, because I feel like, you know, whenever a company has power, like, over, you know, whenever they control the content, like, for example, Microsoft and Sony, they have total control of the entire ecosystem, and I feel like the worst thing you can do is to continue to feed that ecosystem when there's more open options available. So I feel like going forward, the only way they'll continue using the model that they have now is as long as people support it. So, you know, it's a matter of people, you know, moving into more open things like Ouya, I don't know how you pronounce that, but you know, the Android, the, you know, $100 Android console, and I'm pretty sure there's another Android console also, but
that's what Ouya is.
Yeah, made by Isn't it made by Mad Cats?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And then there's also NVIDIA has one, too.
Yeah. Third-party terrible controller makers are now making third-party terrible consoles.
You mean you didn't like the N64 controllers?
They did have a turbo button.
I like the controllers to shake. That should be a new thing. Mice that shake.
Rumble mice
and rumble keyboards.
They do have them with like fans in them to keep your hands from getting sweaty.
What are you doing with your hands?
Anyway, I think we've
exhausted
kind of
exhausted this subject.
Said what we wanted to. So thank you, G Gamer. Thanks for listening. the next question comes from Everett Bigor, which is actually a friend of ours, and he asks, would you play a game that was fully produced, high quality, and plays just as well as any other AAA title on the market, but is free because there is advertising throughout the whole game? This is a long question. The advertising would not cause any delay in gameplay, blah, 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 blah. It would basically be the exact same title, just it would be like an Assassin's Creed 3 or Battlefield 3 or any of those, you know, major IPs, but it would be free because of advertising by major sponsors.
I think the only games where this would work were heavily multiplayer component games, because prolonged advertising would rely on you playing the game for a long period of time. But yes, I think that I would play a game like that.
I think his example is also good too, like, you know, one team's like Coke and one team's like Pepsi or something. Like, that was a good example. I think that's really cool.
That is a good example. I don't know how that would work though. Like, I don't know if they would actually advertise against each other.
the polar bear team versus the whatever the Beyonce's team, Pepsi. Team Beyonce.
Oh my god. This is really off topic too, but that Beyonce commercial where she's shaking her ass in the mirror is frightening.
Yeah, that's a commercial. I haven't seen this one.
Yeah. Anyways.
I've seen it like too many times.
It's on terrible. All the time.
And then the glass breaks. But anyways, yes. I think I would play. I mean, it depends on how like prevalent it is and if it's taking over, you know.
I probably wouldn't play if it was some really weird item that I was on the team for, like, I don't know.
But I mean, would you play a game if it was like, say, Team Shell versus Papa Gino's or something? Like, would you not play? Like, you're just
that
like,
would be fine.
I'm just saying, like, that would be totally normal, and I think you could like totally play and just be like, yo, like, what team are you going? I'm going Papa Gino's. Like, and you'd be completely like, after a while, you'd just be, it seemed weird.
After a while, you'd want to go to Papa Gino's because you'd be like, I'm going Papa
exactly.
Gino's.
Exactly. I feel like this may tap into a huge advertising market. Like,
but it would never work for a single player game, because then that game would need to, some company would need to front all of the money, or you need to break it out into little pieces to front all the money to make up for a large scale blockbuster.
Or they could be like, it could go in the same direction as movies go, and they basically just have like a spot where it's, you know, an advertising
like billboards in the game.
Where it's,
yeah, but that would be, they already have that, don't they?
Some games,
To an extent, but I mean, like, you know, you'll see people drinking only Coke products throughout an entire movie. Or,
instead of,
you know,
a fictional corporation that you're working for that tries to kill you, it's the Coca-Cola Corporation that tries to kill you.
Paid for by Pepsi. Yeah. Coca-Cola is poisoning everyone.
The board of directors is unleashing this horrible virus. Yeah. Instead of the plot of Prototype was all about how Halliburton is poisoning America. Sponsored by Greenpeace.
Yeah, Quake Live actually did do some of that, where they had advertisements when you loaded up the game, and they also had like billboards in the levels that were like, you know, movie billboards and stuff. So I don't know, I actually didn't mind it. I thought it was kind of cool because I knew like when things were coming out and stuff.
Yeah. I haven't gone outside in days. Who cares? I've seen the billboards.
Well, it's
like, oh, I saw that movie's coming out. I was playing a game yesterday, and it was on the wall.
Well, that's the thing too. Is like, I mean, especially our generation that's playing these video games, we don't watch traditional television, so we don't get these commercials. It's like, I mean, all the television that I watch is like Netflix, Hulu. So the ad space that I'm watching is really limited compared to, you know, the 8 minutes of shows per half hour, or 8 minutes of commercials you watch per half hour of television.
True. Though I feel like my mind is less cluttered now that I'm not subjected to that.
I agree.
I think another part of it too is kind of like the, you know, the ad blocking aspect of a lot of digital mediums, like specifically the internet is really, it's dominated now by stuff like ad block, where people don't see ads at all on the internet, which, you know, used to be one of the biggest mediums for advertising, is now kind of like, you know, 50% of the internet doesn't see your ads because they're being blocked, you know, actively. So I think, right, you know, from an advertiser's perspective, they're kind of, I guess they're kind of probably jaded on the on the digital realm. They would have to really like bake it into the game itself, like make it things like the team names and stuff like that. Something that couldn't actually be modified or made to like be hidden.
Yeah.
Do you think that would happen to an extent in games?
Well, because if you think about it, I guess it depends on like where the content was coming from. But if it's local files, you could easily have something that, you know, all the billboards in your game become like a texture that's not an ad or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then again, I guess it could be. I mean, I'm sure someone would figure it out, right? So like how to block it. But I still.
Well, we're not talking browser-based games here. We're talking about.
But say you like, but say someone just has a thing that blocks, even if it's online, like it has to be like, I mean, it's on your computer, right? It's on whatever you're playing. Like someone could just make a third party app, which just blocks that content, especially if it's like reoccurring changing content. The thing is though, they could totally do it with items and like, they could do it with like, and they could like include advertisers on like, you know, expansions, like new items and new levels and stuff. I think it's possible.
Would that open up computers to privacy issues considering all of the feedback regarding, because you know they're going to want to put in customized ads based on your activity on the console,
right?
Like Google That's ads. True.
You got scroogled.
God, those commercials make me laugh so hard. It's like Microsoft looking out for so my privacy. Really, Microsoft? Really?
So I don't see a problem with it, and I mean, with the whole advertising thing, and I think it could potentially go in that direction. Advertising is always looking for a new medium for...
It's just going to creep in and then be there.
Getting out there. Yeah. And, you know, this would be actually the best time to do it, too, because with the new console generations coming out and stuff, if they would get on something like that, then, you know, this would be the time to adopt it.
I think the biggest thing is, for it to come out of, like, a big game originally. Because nobody would want to play, like, a bad game that has, like, you know, like, think about it, like, something right. Like Halo or something, like, yeah, people are going to play it regardless, and if the teams are called Pizza Hut and Taco Bell, like, no one cares, but, like, if, you know, it's just some game where everything's just, like, added out, you're going to be like, I feel like the popularity is going to suffer.
Can it be a game where there's a significant story element? Because... You wouldn't want the team to be named Pizza Hut or Taco Bell if you were playing a game like that. Like, I'm thinking of, like, StarCraft 2. Would you really want the Zerg to be called, like, I don't know.
Yes.
Raid? I'm going to call them Raid. Raid.
Pizza the Huts.
Yeah, but what if you're on a team and you don't like that team? Like, oh, fuck, I'm on Team White Castle again. Last time I went there, I got the shits. would you switch teams, you know, like the people who are advertising?
There's like races that are extremely unbalanced in MMOs because of their like advertising, like allegiances.
McDonald's versus Burger King, Pepsi versus Coke. Moxie.
It's great marketing data for them too, you can sell it. Yeah.
Well, I think that kind of going toward starting to discuss the terrible companies and like the things that would not work in video games. I think that brings us to our top five this week, which is the top five worst possible companies or products to be sponsors in video games. And we came up with a list about 20 minutes ago.
Because we weren't fast!
but we think it's pretty good. So Tim, do you want to take lead on this?
Yeah, sure. So our first on this list is PETA. So I think you can all imagine like loading in a level and then it would just be like in the arms of
and then you get to go and you get to kill 120 crabs.
Sarah McLaughlin.
Yep.
It's like, oh, close this game, I'm done.
Yeah, load screens would be like those really like sad commercials of like puppies and things like locked behind cages and they're in there with like 20 other animals and yeah, no, that wouldn't work.
And then you get a
especially
and then you get a quest to kill like a pack of wolves. So
You look at the games, and I mean, like Red Dead Redemption, you're going around and you can go hunting, but basically, like, you don't have to eat or sell any of it. You can just go out into the wilderness and kill these animals. Like, oh, there's a bird flying. I'm gonna shoot it out of the sky.
Same thing in Assassin's Creed. I'm gonna stab it from the sky 100 times. Stab, stab, stab.
Yeah, that's right. You could jump from a tree and like just stab a bear in the back,
and it would kill it.
Charles is so happy,
and it's dead.
Bear should turn around and smack him side of the face and say, "Peter."
Yeah, this bear was sponsored by PETA, and it kills you every
time. It's
the
PETA bear, and it's in every game. And if you kill enough animals, it's like the chickens in Zelda. It comes after you. And then you're just like, I got mauled by the PETA bear.
Yeah, they're the worst. Number two.
Dojin Man.
I can do this one. This is just... I mean, the fact that you have that, you're going to have a super awkward commercial at the beginning with some girl talking about some guy's ding-a-ling, right, when you get in. And then the fact that, like, added to the fact that most people that are playing video games hardcore probably don't really even use Trojan condoms. This would be a terrible one. It'd be, I mean, I'm not going to lie, I'd probably laugh, but... it'd probably be terrible.
It's the advertisement at the beginning of a really terrifying game, and it's like Trojan Man, and then silence.
I think it would result in a lot of Forever Alone faces.
It's all you.
Terrible.
Yeah, just wrong.
Well, kind of along the same line, would our number three is Preparation H. And the more I think this may actually be a really good one for, because like gamers are sitting on their asses all day long. Well, like people who are real hardcore, there are people out there that play, you know, 10-12 hours a day. I can't imagine the hemorrhoids these people have. like do you have gamer ass? Yes, I do. Preparation H for your butt boils.
When your butt boils royal.
But it would actually be terrible. It wouldn't be good. Think about it. What's that? What's the European Truck Simulator or something? What's
Euro
that, what's
Truck
that
Simulator.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm hauling a big like... old thing of Preparation H across the country. It's important that I deliver this on time.
Turns out, actually, the collector's edition comes with a Preparation H. So,
because they know their audience.
Charles, why don't you take number four?
Similar in the similar vein, one that would be terrible, but also probably be actually profitable is adult diapers for a product in games, where the main character starts off with shitting himself or herself. And it's like, oh, wait, oh, I got my adult...
What kind of game is this?
I got
this?
My adult... Any game. Any game. Watch Dogs, who cares? He's walking around the city all the time. What do you think he's going to do? He's watching people. He's got a shit in his pants. He doesn't have time to go to the bathroom. Have you ever seen a character poop in a game? No. It's because they're all wearing adult diapers.
It's true.
That's a good point.
Yeah, why don't we ever, like, even in...
A few games
in,
you do, where there's, like, some gimmick of you going into the bathroom, and it's like...
Well, like The Sims.
But most games you do not.
Even Fallout, the hardcore mode was like, you have to eat, you have to sleep, but never do you have to take a dump.
Nope.
It just doesn't happen.
It's because you've got a life sentence supply of adult diapers.
Or you just shit wherever you're walking.
Yeah, everyone in the Fallout universe just like lets it slide.
Everyone has assless chaps and they're just walking around.
Nightmare.
That world would smell so bad.
Well, it probably already does. If you look around in those universes, it doesn't look pretty.
It's
Smells like apocalypse. So do we have a number five? Anyone?
We had one. What was it?
Didn't we say?
Oh, that's right.
Match.com.
Yes.
That's right.
Tim, you want to take that one?
No. But yeah. Okay. So our final top five or number five worst company or product to be sponsored would be Match.com. I guess any dating site.
It's got to be one that's like an online gamer. Match.com, where it's got like...
That's what I was going to say.
What's that?
Yeah.
Is it a real thing?
There's so many of those commercials that you watch that's like, I met my wife online, and I didn't know until we got married that she was a man.
Christian Mingle, uniform, yeah. Whatever the one was, the uniforms. It's like, I wanted my spouse to wear a uniform. It's like,
yeah, there's one where like about like farmers too. This one's like guys that are farmers. They're like, you have to like animals and wear a cowboy hat. Something.
What if it was like you went on the date in the game? Like, you had to run a dungeon together.
It's called
like, it's like Second Life.
It's called Match.com, the MMO.
That's even better.
Or it's a first person shooter or something.
It's just all dudes pretending to be girls trying to hook up with other dudes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It would be awful.
Oh boy.
Well,
that would be very disappointing for everyone involved.
I think there would be another case of blue balls there.
That was a combination of adult diapers and blue balls.
Oh, holy crap. Well, do you guys have anything else? We're going to open it up a little bit right now. We're kind of nearing the end of our episode. So if you guys have anything, go ahead. Otherwise,
shout out to Ryan Gunn, because it looks like he just got into Hearthstone. That lucky bastard.
Nice. He's been trying that for... ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess, what are you guys playing now? We haven't really talked. I'm playing Darksiders, which is awesome.
Darksiders 2? Isn't the second one out?
Yeah, it is.
It is, yeah. But I got the first one for free.
The first one was very good. Both were very good. I like the first one more, though. I hope that the third...
What are you playing?
And the third one is coming out, but it's not by any of the developers of the first two, so hopefully it's as good.
Hmm. Oh, yeah, didn't they sell it?
Oh, yeah,
didn't they sell Dark Souls? Yeah.
It's like some Swedish company, I think. I beat the ninja game that I was playing. It was very successful. I stabbed a lot of people. I'm currently playing Limbo, and I'm freaking out about these vicious little dark minions that keep trying to kill me. It's very upsetting. And I don't even have any weapons that I can maim them with.
Can't you, like, roll boulders on their heads and stuff, though?
At certain points you can do things to hurt them. I especially liked it when I got to rip off the spider's leg. And rolling boulders all around, but there's a lot of different... It reminds me of Darksiders in the way you can die so many different ways. I mean, not Darksiders. What am I saying? Dark Souls. Where you hit a spike and it's just like, oh, you're dead. And then you respawn. It's fun. Creepy. Jess really likes the game because there's a part where a worm infected my head and she was like, what is that? So I was like, a worm in my head. So it's fun for the whole family.
What are you playing, Steve?
Been playing a lot of Dota 2 for some reason. I played for like 4 hours already today, and I've been getting crushed. I'm getting to the point now where I'm like getting angry at people for playing bad, so you know it's not good. So yeah, no, I just been playing that. I played a little Amnesia last week, but I really only played it for like five or six minutes in like three different settings combined. So
too frightening for
you. Yeah, The more I play it, though, the more, like, I just, it's kind of more of a comedy. Because I kind of get used to it, so I'm just like, ah, I'm getting scared. But yeah, so I'll probably beat it eventually at some point. I don't think it's, like, a really long beat, but it's just weird. It's, like, kind of confusing at first, so that's, like, scary, because you don't really know what the hell's going on, so. But, yeah, same old.
What are you up to, Tim?
I've been playing a little bit of everything. I've been, started leveling it all in WoW, even though I had, like, 1.5 million. I started playing Fez a little bit.
It's probably nice. How's that?
It's all right. It's actually really cool. Like the first thing you complete, it's kind of like retro-y, like a retro arcade game, and you just gotta play it. You gotta see what happens. But like you find this thing where it turns the world into like a 3-dimensional world where you can kind of like turn it, and as soon as you find it, it like resets and it goes to like a bio, like an old school bio screen, and like it like boots back up. It's really cool, but. You know, it's interesting. It's like a different twist on the 2D platformer, but it's fun. I don't think it's as good as it was hyped up to be, but it's, you know, it's still interesting. I haven't beaten it yet, so.
Cool.
Is it, like, easy to play with keyboard and mouse, or is it, like, controller be better?
I've been playing with a controller.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That's the only reason I haven't played it, is I've just been honestly too lazy to, like, get a controller out and plug it in.
Yeah.
And just, yeah, like, I know how stupid that sounds, but
I had originally done it for the Steam achievement to get into the Steam Machine beta, which is that was the main reason I started playing it, and then I was like, alright, this is kinda fun.
To go into full screen mode and close out with a controller.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's the way I've heard of that.
Yeah. But yeah, it's alright. I'll have to update you once I finish.
Nice. Well, that sounds awesome. Alright. Well, we've reached the end of our episode, so thank you, G-Gamer Forever, for writing into us. Thank you, EverBigor. Thank you, all you other late-night gamer listeners. I'm Nick. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Charles.
You're welcome.
This is Late Night Gamer Podcast Episode 8, and we are out.
Ciao!
Peace.